Welcome to Joyful Marketing. I'm Simone Soul, and I teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buy Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how.
Hey friends, guess what? Today, I'm going to celebrate and talk about how I created over $2 million in the past 24 months. And I'm going to talk about all about what went into that. And here's the big picture thing I really want you to know is that my journey from zero to 2 million truly was so joyful, right? Like I had so much joy at every step of the process. And anybody who's been with me, who's been like following me for the whole time, like there's actually a lot of clients and followers who have seen me grow up in the past few years, really got to witness the joy at every stage. They're like, yeah, I just saw you having so much fun at every stage. And here's what I really want you to know about that is that being joyful and exuding like fun and enjoyment is not mutually exclusive with having a lot of like pain and like growing pains and drama and the excruciating, like not fun type of soul searching. Cause there was a lot of that too. And when I look back at my joy, it wasn't joy in avoidance of discomfort or pain. It was a joy that was big enough to embrace the entire spectrum of emotions. And when I think about that, I feel like, man, that really is the way to go after any goal. And what I think is so cool is that when you let joy be the driver of your business, then there's so much to celebrate at every level of business, right? And when I open up the Facebook group, our private Facebook group for Joyful Marketing members, every day, there's so much celebration. People are celebrating big milestones, like making a ton of money and signing, you know, multiple clients, and as well as small celebrations and like somebody finally letting their voice loose for the first time and somebody finally not being slowed down by perfectionism because they're falling in love with what their business wants to be in the world. And they're starting to get the responses from people, but not in the way of like passively receiving responses, but they have this real sense that what they're putting out to the world, out into the world, is creating conversations that are so meaningful, conversations that give people transformations, conversations that keep people engaging with you and looking to you as the authority, looking to you as the person that can help them, right? All these things I see as byproducts of you being in the joy of business. And like, for example, I want to share like today, here are some comments and posts that were posted in our Joyful Marketing Facebook group. For example, Lori says, I am filled with joy. I'm living in the breakthrough of having, which by the way is a concept that I teach in the Joyful Marketing modules, how to always be in breakthrough 100% of the time, no matter what is going on in your life, because that is super magnetic for people following you. It makes people want to work with you. So that's what she's referring to. She says, I'm living in the breakthrough of having. I love what I do every single day. I share authentically of myself and my engagement has gone up so much. I get love notes from people all the time. My husband and I are so in love. I'm so glad I joined Joyful Marketing. I'm like, I just like look at comments like this and I'm like, this is what it's all about. I put the joy in your life. I put the joy back in your business. And then the joy almost like goes to work for you to market, to make your stuff attractive to other people. Because that's what your clients are looking for. They're looking for somebody that they see and they're like, I want what they're having, right? So I don't care how fancy your strategy is, how perfect your launch plan is, how like slickly branded your Instagram is. Like if you're not exuding an air of like loving your life in a way that makes other people kind of sniff it out and go, what's going on there? I want what she's having. I want some of that. I want her to teach me how to be like that. That is the secret sauce. That's what we want. And I just love the evidence that people are creating that every day in Joyful Marketing. That's what it's all about. Amanda also posted today. I posted 4 times this morning before 9 a.m. My brain is like an unstoppable fire hose of ideas. Once I stopped criticizing and judging and stalling on everything, it went apeshit. I can't stop writing. I have posts in a bank that I can just copy and paste whenever. I have been obsessed with creating fun flowcharts. Okay, I want to see these flowcharts. And I'm writing a class and I think about my clients and spend time on their problems outside of our sessions. But even better than all these results is that I fucking trust myself. I love my business and my brain. I'm enjoying the creative flow with all my heart. And oh, guess what happens when I love and trust myself with my brain? I love everyone even more too. It's a sparkly, glittery, fun house of love over here. And Amanda posted this with a GIF of a cat riding a unicorn through a rainbow. So that pretty much encapsulates how it feels, like how the group feels. It's like so many amazing people in it. We have so much fun and we get tons of business done at the same time. So, and I'm so proud, like as a creator, that I really truly created a space to systematically produce joy and let joy be the profit creating fuel for your business. And I just like can't wait until every single life coach in the world is in the program, also harnessing joy to fuel their businesses. If you want to get in on this party and experience the magic for yourself, doors are open today. Join us. All right, let's talk about all of this joy business in greater detail. Like I said, a bunch of people asked me questions and I'm going to answer them one by one as rapid fire as I can. I tend to get sometimes a little bit long-winded, but I'm going to try to move through them as fast as possible so you can get as much insight as possible from what it took me, from how I went from basically close to zero to $2 million in the past 24 months. Okay, so first question, Cindy asks, how to get consults, please? I don't tend to love answering how-to questions because I feel like my entire podcast is like how to do all the things. However, there is something that I really wanted to say to people who are in that space of like, oh my gosh, I just want to know how to get consults. Okay. This is like people contacting you, reaching out to you, wanting to work with you. Like, how do you make that happen? Like at first, I remember when it felt like just like a distant dream thing that happens to other people, but not me. It felt really mysterious. So I get it. So here's what I want to tell you. What I remember from when I was making no money, I remember looking at coaches that I hired or coaches that I admired, you know, just like on the internet. And I remember thinking, like, I would look at their stuff, right? I would consume their content. I would take their classes. And I remember thinking, huh, it's not that they just have like better marketing. They're thinking at a different level. I remember noticing that these coaches that I admired were thinking at a higher level. They were solving problems at a higher level than I was. So if I had a problem and my brain was solving it, it would look a certain way. And if that coach were to look at the same problem, they would solve it in an entirely different way that made me go, oh my God, that's brilliant, right? And I remember noticing that at the time, I wasn't at that level of thinking, not in a like way where I was beating myself up, but just like, oh, maybe their ability to be successful in business as coaches, it doesn't really have to do with like their marketing and selling. Maybe it's about the quality of their thinking. They're creating solutions at a different level. That's what people want. Like, that's why I'm drawn to them. That's why I want to pay them. I want to think at that level. I want to be able to create solutions at that level. So my advice to you, if you are really wanting to know how to create consults, is to become somebody who thinks at a higher level. Be the kind of person where other people look at your ideas, other people look at the way you think about things, the way you problem solve, and go, oh my gosh, I need to be near that brain. So what that means is to really make the work more internal than external. There are actually specific processes I teach my clients in Joyful Marketing to elevate their level of thinking all the time. The first thing is I teach you how to stop solving problems within the limits of your existing thoughts and paradigms, right? Like we all have our limiting thoughts and we're just like running around in circles within them. So I teach you how to go beyond them and connect to the wisdom of your unconscious mind, or what I like to call the spirit of your business. Now, this might sound a little esoteric, but there actually are very concrete and simple steps I lead you through that I teach in the Joyful Marketing program that teach you exactly how to do this, to like kind of zoom out into a greater awareness and wisdom. And this is actually how people in the program end up solving their own problems way faster than they used to and way faster than everybody else is doing. Actually makes me laugh. There are so many posts in the Facebook group all the time where people start by saying, hey, can I get some coaching on this? I have this problem. And then they like they're typing and they're thinking, I'm trying to figure this out. And by the end of the post, they're like, oh, actually, I remember when Simone taught this, like, I remember this lesson in this module. And oh, now that I think about it, the answer is this and the solution is this. And they're like, hold on, actually, I don't need coaching anymore. I gave myself the solution. And this actually happens quite frequently and it makes me laugh. It's really like knowing how to tap into that greater awareness, like the greater wisdom that's already inside you. It's like having your own brilliant genius business advisor right in your pocket. And the Joyful Marketing modules like specifically teach you how to activate that and how to keep plugged into that, right? Another thing I teach in order to elevate your level of thinking is actually what I referred to earlier about how to be in breakthrough 100% of the time. Most of us tend to think that breakthroughs only happen when there's something like outwardly dramatic happening, right? Like you have a big life event that other people can see, or you have a really, like you're struck like with thunder, with like, you know, with an epiphany that rained down from the sky, or you like made this much money, or you signed a client and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's how you know. That's how you can like feel confident that, oh, I'm in breakthrough. But listen, how often does that happen in life? Even for me, not that often. So how do you be in the energy of breakthrough even when nothing dramatic is happening on the outside? Even when it seems like your life is staying basically the same, it's not that glamorous, it's not that exciting. And sometimes, how do you stay in the spirit of breakthrough even when you might be feeling worse than normal? Because you're trying things and failing, which is a really normal part of business that's going to happen to everyone over and over, including myself. If you're failing, if you're not meeting your goals, how do you still exude an air, right? A smell of, oh my gosh, that person is like a breakthrough factory. I need to be near them. I need their brain to coach me so that I can get my breakthrough. Like people around you can be thinking that you can be giving off that aura no matter what is happening in your life, even if you're failing all the time, right? Because it's about the ability to source breakthroughs internally rather than externally. And I teach you exactly how to do that in Joyful Marketing as well, right? Like if you know how to think at a high level, you'll always be creating high level solutions, whatever you're working on. And no matter your niche, no matter where you are, no matter what your market is, you will always be in demand if you know how to think at a higher level. So have that always be your goal. I think implicitly that was my goal starting out as well, right? If you keep having the same kinds of issues, if you keep running into the same kinds of blocks, it probably means that you keep thinking and trying to problem solve at the same level. Okay. So next question. Sarah asks, what kind of money mindset work did you do to create this? Okay. I'm going to try to answer this question as like concisely as possible. Here's the thing. The main money mindset work I had to do was really learning and relearning and relearning over and over again that money does not create my safety. Money does not create my safety. Money does not create my comfort. Money does not create my worth. Money does not create anything. Money is just money. It's just neutral. It's just like a thing that exists in the world. I think that this is one of the biggest things that trip up entrepreneurs. This is one of the biggest things that inhibit people from fully unleashing their marketing and sales potential is that they get trapped by using clutching to money as something that's going to provide them their safety. Like they think, oh, I have this much saved in the bank. And if I lose that, right, if I spend that, I won't be safe anymore. That's a sign that you're thinking that money is what creates your safety. Or if you are really afraid of debt, right? So you're thinking the lack of debt creates your safety. Or if you think, I really want to make this much money. I really want to have a five-figure month. I really want to have a six-figure year because I think having that much money is going to create my, if not safety, then that's going to validate that I'm on the right path. It's going to validate my worth as a coach. That's, again, you thinking that a certain amount of money creates your worth, a certain amount of money creates the validation that you're craving. So the biggest money mindset work that I did was uncoupling money from all of those things. Because worthiness, safety, comfort, confidence, they are created by my thoughts about myself. How you know this is true is that I talk to tons of coaches all the freaking time who are making, you know, 100K, multiple six figures, even seven figures, and they feel insecure, unsafe, unvalidated, chasing confidence. Why? Because the number in their bank account changed, but their brains are still the same. And I talked about other people, but it's the same with me. Like now I have like more than $1 million in my bank account and I still experience the same human emotions of feeling unsafe, feeling uncomfortable, feeling threatened, feeling unworthy, feeling all of these things because, again, money does not create emotions. My thoughts do. When you stop relying on money to create your emotions for you, when you stop making money responsible for making you feel a certain way that you want to feel, you can start seeing money instead as an investment, as a tool, as a vehicle to do things that you want to do in the world. It's not something that you need to hustle after or hoard as much as possible in order to feel the way you want. And that's when you can be really brave, not only with investing, but and also in terms of charging money, right? Because if you think that money creates safety, you're going to be really hesitant to take money from clients because you think you're like destroying their safety by taking a lot of their money. Right. So this is like so important for you to do in terms of your marketing and sales mindset. Like if you stop thinking that money creates your comfort, you will stop believing your prospective clients when they think that their money creates their comfort. All right. Next question. Karen asks, what was the most significant learning that created your results? Okay. So it's two parts. Two parts of the most significant learning. The first part is learning how to take responsibility for the fact that my thoughts are creating my results. That's number one. And the second most significant learning was learning how to process my own emotions. We use a self-coaching model created by the founder of the Life Coach School, Brooke Castillo, called The Model. And we teach how there are circumstances in the world that trigger thoughts in your brain, which then create feelings in your body, which compel you to take certain actions in the world, which lead to a certain result, right? So we use this model of circumstances triggering, thoughts creating feelings, leading to actions, leading to results, to understand how everything works in the world. And even coaches who are trained in the model, they are at various stages of really, really getting that truly it is their thoughts that create all of their results. And I think that this is the number one skill that you want to invest in when you are getting started. Even when, like, even for me right now, like if I had to invest in one area of my business and life, it would continue to be on my mindset, right? And when I say mindset, it does not mean being positive. It doesn't mean anything other than understanding the causality of how thoughts create results. In a minute, I'm going to talk about why this is so important. That's the first one. And the second one is learning how to process emotions. I think actually shockingly not very well understood or practiced even among coaches. When I see coaches keep being stuck in the same kind of struggle with their business, it lets me know one thing is that they're having trouble processing their own emotions. And you know, I see this actually in the most subtle ways. Like when I talk to coaches, when I see coaches talking about business, there are telltale signs that they don't know how to, or they're not fully processing their own emotions. So for example, when a coach asks me a question like, what's the fastest, like most efficient way to get out of my own way? What's the best way to like feel more confident, right? These sound like very like reasonable questions, but when someone says like, oh, how do I get out of my own way? Like, what's the fastest way to get there? What that kind of question tells me is that they don't yet know how to fully allow and process discomfort. That tells me that they don't know how to allow and process feeling uncertain, right? Like they're trying to feel confident and just in control all the time because they have no idea how to deal with it when they don't feel that way and they just want to like run away from it. So most of the time, what creates stuckness, what creates you kind of struggling with the same things over and over again is the failure to really fully allow and process emotions, and therefore you're stuck in resisting the emotions. And when you're not fully feeling an emotion, what happens is that you cannot think outside of the thought loop that the emotion is producing. So when you learn how to be aware of the causality of your thoughts creating results and how the results that you already have in your life were caused by thoughts that you had in the past, like you want to be able to track the causality of that. And when you have the skill to feel shitty and doubtful and anxious and scared, and remember that nothing has gone wrong. These feelings are not a problem. They're a part of life. And, you know, you just know how to allow them as sensations in your body and just be able to be your own friend and be compassionate with yourself as you're feeling those, not pushing them away. These skills, what they do is they put you in control of your business. I actually think this is why so many people, like in Joyful Marketing, there are so many, they're like modules that specifically tell you exactly how to create content, exactly how to make offers. And like even more than those, what people say they find the most valuable is what's in the orientation module, which is how to partner with the brain that you have and how to partner with the nervous system that you already have so that you don't need to like have a better brain. You don't need like better beliefs and you don't need to like be more positive or be happier. You can work with what you have in a compassionate way where you're truly honoring yourself and making room for all of your existing thoughts and experiences. And that allows you to, that like removes so much of the friction that's causing the stagnation, the stuckness in your business when you find yourself struggling with one thing for the same thing over and over. Like that's the importance of knowing how to work with your brain and your nervous system. I see clients who already have a strong skill set. They've practiced, like they have competency in these skills. They progress very fast. And clients who don't have as much experience with this and they're not focused on learning these skills first, it tends to take them a lot more time to grow. So please invest in that first, your time and money and energy in that. It will serve you so well. Okay, remember when I said this was going to be rapid fire? I lied. Sorry. Okay, so Sam asks, at any point did you stop paying attention to the money? Did it stop mattering? Okay, that's a really great question. It's something that I also wondered, like, will I ever be like so rich that money doesn't even matter anymore? And here's what I think actually happened is that in the beginning, when the game is to prove that you can make money, right? When I was first like trying to see myself as an entrepreneur, trying to grow into that self-concept. It's like every time you make money, it's like validation, it's confirmation, right? So it's like, oh, yes, I'm creating value. Yes, people want to work with me. Oh, yes, I can hit my income goal. And it's kind of like evidence that I can be an effective creator of results for my own business, etc. But then at some point, it goes from like money validating your self-concept, because after you earn a certain amount, you begin to see, like, you don't question that anymore. It's like, well, of course I can make money. Of course I'm an entrepreneur, right? Like, of course I can like kind of turn it on or off. I can like increase the dial. Like, I can sell more, make more money. Like, I feel very much in control at this point. And I think that feeling of like, oh yeah, I'm in control, I think that happened somewhere between 1 million and 2 million. And now it's not that money doesn't matter anymore. Now money still matters a great deal, but not in terms of validating me, but in terms of like how I get to be a steward of the money that I have for the greatest good in accordance with my values, like for myself, for my own family, and for the world, for my business, right? So for example, at some point last year, I think it was when I was about to cross, maybe a little bit before, anyway, around the time I was about to cross the $1 million mark, I decided that every month I'm going to donate 5% of my revenue to a charity or a cause of my choice. And I have actually done that every single month since. And some months my donation, 5% of my entire monthly revenue, was in the thousands. And some months it's been in the tens of thousands. And every month, sitting with this, I would say, like, joyful responsibility, right, of how to steward this money, where I want my money to flow towards, it gives me so much to think about. It's very humbling. It's sobering. I say it's joyful, but it's not always joyful, because when I think about the causes that I give to, you know, it's not always like fun and games. It really makes me think about some stark realities in the world that I want to be a part of changing, like, you know, like child trafficking, like extreme poverty, you know, like domestic violence. And I'm just spending so much time nowadays thinking about what my contribution to the world would look like at income level that are even higher than I am now, when I'm making $10 million, tens of millions, when I'm making $100 million, like what do I want my contribution to be? I still want to make a lot more money. I think a lot about how to make money, how to spend it, but from a perspective of how can I let it be the best expression of my values, as opposed to it validating that I'm doing it right? So I hope that answers the question. Okay, next question. Jessica asks, guidelines for when to launch a course, when to do the podcast, everything, please. So I don't tend to tell people do this when da 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 da. Like, I don't tend to give guidelines like that, but I'm going to make an exception and do that right now. So it's my personal opinion that the best time to launch a course is when you have proven expertise and proven demand. Now, this is contrary to what a lot of other business mentors teach. I'm not saying they're wrong. They're probably right. I am probably right in my own way. So the reason that I say this is that I see lots of coaches launching courses without proven expertise, without proven demand, as a way to generate the demand that they don't already have, as a way to like almost like prove their expertise to the world when they don't have enough evidence of it already. Here's what I mean by proven expertise and demand. Proven expertise is when it's not like, oh, I know I'm really good at this, like in my own head. Like I'm so confident in my skills. Like, that's not proven. Proven expertise means you literally have worked with so many people. You have a track record that you can show other people of the kind of results that you got your clients, and that your clients' results speak for themselves. They speak for you. You don't have to like generate it with your own like self-belief. It's like, no, I helped somebody do this. I helped this client create this. And then you have this like roster of like client results. That's what I mean by proven expertise. Okay. And by proven demand, I mean the number of people willing to work with you, number of people willing to give you money. So it basically, if you don't have a full calendar of your ideal clients with more clients like wanting to be on your wait list, like people like wanting to throw money at you, you do not have a level of proven demand that I think makes it a really great time for you to launch a course. Okay. A lot of people launch courses because they are not confident with selling one-on-one coaching. A lot of people launch courses because they are not comfortable with the level of responsibility and the level of presence that one-on-one coaching requires. They think it's cheaper and therefore more easy for people to invest in. They think it's less commitment. They feel less responsible for client results in a way where it just feels like less of a burden on themselves. And that's, I think, is not great reasons to launch a course. When I launched a course, I was able to immediately have a, like immediately make lots of money from selling it and have people, like just dozens and dozens of people enroll into it right away. I made multiple six figures in the first couple of months and my clients like love the course. They are getting amazing results from it because I had worked up until that point to create my own proven expertise and to create my own proven demand so that I had 100% certainty that the course would be successful. So I'm not saying don't ever launch a course when you have doubts about these, but don't launch a course as a way to get out of the challenge of creating rock solid, externally proven expertise and from the challenge of creating demand with your one-on-one coaching. Okay, that's what my advice for when to launch a course. And here's when to launch a podcast. You can launch a podcast whenever the fuck you want. It can be your first day of coaching and you can launch a podcast. It can be, you can have been in business for 10 years and you can launch a podcast. However, my caveat is check your reasons why. I think unless you're at a point where you have what I called proven expertise and proven demand, it's not advisable that you start a podcast as a marketing or selling medium, right? And a lot of people start a podcast thinking that the podcast is going to create business for them. And then they put a lot of effort into it. And when it doesn't immediately result in clients and riches and fame, they get deflated and they give up. They makes them not want to do the podcast. And then as they're accumulating experience, they certainly have a different idea. Maybe I should change a niche. Maybe I need to have a different podcast. And then so it becomes this drain of energy and it's kind of like becomes a source of drama. You don't want that. Like before, like when you're still building your demand, when you're still building your expertise, the reason to start a podcast, there's so many great reasons other than it's going to create clients for me. It's going to be part of my funnel, right? And those great reasons include me like learning how to use my own voice, right? Me learning how to be an effective speaker, me experimenting with putting my ideas out there, me being able to serve people with my ideas. And even without proven expertise and demand, I guarantee you always have stuff in your brain that can massively be of service. So if you can believe that every episode that I create on whatever is going to help somebody, that's super meaningful, right? So do it as a creative project, do it for your own self-expression, do it for your own internal growth, and take the satisfaction and the reward from that instead of like, okay, TikTok, I wanted to create clients for me. When is this podcast going to make some money? That's a terrible reason to start a podcast. And I think the reason that my podcast has been so successful from day one is because I started it when I knew that I had proven expertise and demand. So immediately it had a very clear focus that I knew I wasn't going to like have drama about. And immediately when I started recording episodes, I knew that the content was really valuable because it wasn't stuff I was making up. It was stuff that was coming from my years of experience helping clients on this topic. Okay, so next question. Priya asks, how did you get over the fear of being ostracized by being truthful? Okay, So I actually have a very simple but profound answer to this. I got over the fear of being ostracized by being truthful when I realized that I would rather be ostracized by telling the truth than be liked and accepted by telling half of my truths. Listen, I'm still fearful of being ostracized by being truthful. Every time, I wouldn't say every time, but some of the time, right now, even now, I try to take as much emotional risk as possible with my marketing. Like I try to always, like my number one guiding principle in marketing and in business is to always be telling my truth and to tell it with love, right? And I actually spend a lot of time in Joyful Marketing teaching on this topic precisely, like exactly what it means to tell the truth and to do it with love in a way where you can truly like use these ideas to create content and use these ideas to create a level of connection, to create a quality of connection that truly stands out from the noise and lets the people that you serve be able to connect with you at such a deep level where they really truly feel seen by you. And that creates a transformation inside them before they ever reach out to work with you. So if you want to know what this means on a pragmatic level and how you can translate it directly to your marketing today, take this work deeper, join Joyful Marketing. There are so many instances where doing anything but that would be a lot more convenient, right? Like I could just like say, I don't know, there's so many things that I can say that would still be so valuable to people. And that would be considered like very good business practice that doesn't involve me like being very brave with my truth. So it's totally optional. And at the same time, it's one of my guiding principles, because I think being more truthful than you need to be in service of love, it's what's meaningful to me, right? It's what makes business meaningful to me. It's what makes it worth doing. It's what makes my connection to my audience and my clients really meaningful to me, really precious to me, right? So even now, I'll try to tell a truth about myself or about the work or whatever at some emotional risk, where my brain will tell me, oh, like this is the part where everybody finds out that you're a horrible person and nobody likes you anymore. And like, it's just gonna like confirm all of your fears about like just being a bag lady on the street that is ostracized by the world. So that is a real thing. As long as you're committed to the truth, your brain will have freakouts that it's unsafe, right? That people will hate you, and our brains hate that. But what I realized, what I committed to a lot earlier on in the process is I would truly, like, I can tell the half-truth and I can present like a presentable, pleasant, palatable version of myself that I know will not be offensive to people, that will not piss anybody off. It will not be controversial. It would just be like, you know, very, yeah, like pleasant. But if I do that, there will be a part of my soul that dies. Maybe not dies. That's really dramatic. But like, yeah, there's a part of my soul that's a part of my truth that's going to feel muffled. And that is not a way that I want to live. You can keep that up. I lived that way for many years and it felt like I was slowly dying inside. There was a moment when I was like, you know what? I really wanted all these people to like me and have high opinions of me. And it's so painful trying to like control that all the time and manipulate people to like me by being half truthful. And I would rather be true to myself, true to my truth, and be ostracized than be liked by people who don't fully know who I am, who are not fully on board with my truth. So you will never totally get rid of the fear of being ostracized, but you can choose your medicine. You can choose. It's worth it. This being ostracized, if it happens, it's worth it because I got to tell my truth. Then you become like your courage comes from being able to embrace that risk because of what it's able to give you, integrity with yourself. Okay, so here is, doing this episode so far, I realized that I'm going to need a part two to this. So I'm going to record a part two to the $2 million Q&A. But here's the last thing that I'm going to tell you. Casey asked, what has been your favorite thought about yourself and your identity in the past 2 years. And I decided that I'm going to record a bonus podcast episode, just me reading from the belief plan that I wrote literally 2 years ago, all of my intentional beliefs, affirmations that I wrote down. There's like dozens of them. I'm going to share all of them with you. Like, I literally wrote these down in my own journal 2 years ago, and it's like so fast. Like, I use these beliefs to upgrade my self-concept and to expand my capacity and to grow into who I want it to be. And I have to say, I've shared these with my clients, and these are gold. So I'm going to share them with you. So I hope you enjoy that. All right, part two, to be continued. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that, link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.